Deuce and more. They tell you what they know. Deuce and more. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. The Kings embarking on a tough 4-game road trip. First up tonight was Salt Lake City against a Jazz team that's beyond banged up.
Beyond.
Lauri Markkanen, not there. John Collins out. Same with Colin Sexton. A lot of young guys playing for the Jazz, but man, were they pesky early on? And the Kings,
a little sloppy, a little clunky at times.
They're banned from throwing lobs for the next couple of weeks, but they got the job done. A big fourth quarter. They end up winning tonight against the Utah Jazz, 118-101. It was a season-high 26 points for Keegan Murray, just his fourth 20-point game of the season, but it was a big one for Sacramento, and he played some awesome defense. Kings have won back-to-back games. Next up, a tough game against the Houston Rockets. They are now 30-28 on the season, and this podcast is presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
So good. Glad to be back in Sacramento. Glad to see the beam on my way back on I-5. And just glad that the Kings found a way to get a win.
Yeah. The end result is a win, and that's all that matters. And we can nitpick it to death. But the reality is, at this point of the year, you don't apologize for wins. You have to clean some shit up, but you got the win.
And I think my expectations were just higher for so many different reasons. I mean, you stated in the beginning, I'm going to sneeze. It feels like, sorry, there's like fog up in my nose.
Don't blame the fog.
Okay.
And you've got a fan going 75 miles per hour above us because some fog.
Anyway, but the other thing I was going to say about this win, we all know all wins are not going to be the same. I thought it was really interesting after a 42-point win against the Charlotte Hornets that there were people out there talking about it not being good enough when it's like a win in the NBA, hard already, right? But like you find a way to dominate, even if it's against a bad team, great. I'm going to love so many different things. You can talk about the mistakes, whatever. Tonight felt like there's more to criticize while still celebrating the end result of the W. But I just wanted tonight to be a little bit more of like, okay, clean up the turnovers and figure out how to play great basketball against a shitty team. Go. And you didn't get it.
Honestly, some of the turnovers, too, the last couple of games, you're going, they didn't need to get to 16 tonight. They didn't need to get to 18 against Charlotte. You're throwing really challenging lobs. I mean, there's a sequence where Monk threw a lob. Doug Christie said after the game, he actually thought Monk got fouled on that play.
Okay.
But nonetheless, they weren't able to connect. Then you had one that was thrown in the first half. But right after that, you had Keon Ellis throw a lob to nobody. And it's just
literally just
the little things. I'm like, I don't know. I just felt at like times tonight, they were playing like they were up 30 when they were up 7.
Yes, it was so undisciplined. Yeah. And like, you are not a good enough team to play undisciplined. Like, you have to use that time as practice time. You've had a few practices under your belt. You've found out how to play together, play some good basketball, win some games. But against a really bad, broken team, you got to play the right way. And they weren't playing the right way from the start and were still able to find a way to really play some nice basketball down the stretch, pull away. But your starters still had to play 35-plus minutes or whatever it was.
And I think Doug could have taken them out. I think that
he didn't trust it.
No, I don't think it was a trust thing.
I totally do.
My perspective was he left them in because he felt like they're off until Saturday, and these guys need the time together because for what you just mentioned, it hasn't been crisp all the time.
No.
There's been moments where you're seeing it. There's been other moments where it's clunky. And
Frank would like to let me know that, Mo, you are too negative. I'm so sorry. No, I am very excited about the Kings win. I am just being critical of the mistakes that were being made in this game. And I believe they are fair criticisms. I will get to all the good, but I think what I'm stating right now is just something that we need to see down the stretch of this season at a higher level. Like, I just have a few higher standards. I think they're realistic, but that's okay if you don't think that.
I mean, I think it comes down to this. If you play to, if you played against the Rockets like you played in like the first half at stages of this game,
you're not
gonna win, you know, and that's just the reality of the situation.
And that's so scary.
You just have to clean up, but it is. But it's also just an opportunity, you know. It's another game that this group got together and that they faced some adversity. Where, oh wow, the Jazz just cut this game to 60-59 in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah.
But then the Kings responded.
Yep.
You know, and so they end up going away with it 118-101. What was the biggest lead in this game? They end up leading by 22 points. They handled business.
Yeah.
And this Utah team had some wins recently. Now, they were also had Markkanen playing. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This was a game you just needed to get. That's the end of the story. You just needed to get this game tonight. Mm-hmm. And the things I loved, I start with Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray, his defense all year has been awesome. His rebounding's been great. But he hasn't had a 20-point game since late November. He had 26 points in this one. 9-for-16 shooting, 5-of-10 from three.
Season high, 26 points, right?
And season
like,
high.
You look at all those numbers together, and I think the greatest part about this for Keegan in this game specifically is that everyone was sloppy as fuck, and he was the one that was like, let me produce from the start. Yeah. And I love that he was able to step up in that role with his confidence, with being decisive, whether it was going to the basket or just shooting the three from deep, wherever it was. You can always rely on him on the defensive end and what he's capable of doing. What do you do with rebounds? And he had 6 of the 47 rebounds. You know, I just think as a team, we can talk about that too. Everyone doing a great job of crashing the boards. But you look at Keegan Murray's stat line all the way across, 2 assists, 2 blocks. I think his all-around game tonight was just really great.
He was outstanding. And they have to find more ways to get him involved. Because I think sometimes people go, oh, how'd you get it going tonight? What was the key? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all these fair questions. But part of it, too, is the Kings need to find ways to get him involved. I'm with it, too. He's got to look to be aggressive when he does get the ball. Mm-hmm. But there are times where he doesn't get the ball, mm-hmm. and he's just kind of waiting around, and maybe he cuts and doesn't get the ball. They need to make sure he gets opportunities because he does have something here.
He can score.
And the three-point shooting, although on the season it's at like 33-ish%, since January 1st, he's shooting 37% from three.
I like that stat.
It's trending up. It's ever since he took that time off. Remember, he had the foot injury.
Yeah.
He took a couple of games off. He's been shooting the ball well from three, so he needs to get that opportunity to get more looks. And man, it looks pretty nice when he's knocking down threes. Keon continues to knock down threes. He's shooting 45% from downtown. DeMar knocking down threes. LaVine, he's been red hot the last couple of games from downtown. It just makes a world of difference. But yeah, I thought Keegan Murray did an outstanding job, like looking for his tonight, knocking down shots. And then what he does defensively, I mean, I feel bad for Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson was like locked up. Even that one shot he had, he was 0 for 12. He drives on Keegan. Keegan just obliterates him with a block shot. And Jordan Clarkson finished 1 for 14 in this game.
Yeah. Poor guy. It was just one of those games where not only there was going to be a hand in his face, but even when there wasn't, he was still missing those shots. Just couldn't get one to go until the end.
Man.
And then he got it to go.
Yeah. So Keegan was definitely a big bright spot for the Kings in this one.
Yeah, especially on the defensive end where you and I are texting back and forth. Why are there so many open looks for this team? You know, there was just too many times where guys were doing a good job of coming over and helping. Like, you're like, yay, someone's there. That's awesome. But they weren't giving themselves the right timing to be able to recover on a closeout and contest a shot even.
And best defenses do that because these teams are too smart. They know when help comes.
Yes.
They know that if they can feel that help, they could feel that shift starting to happen. The good players are going to make the right play and find the open man.
Yeah.
And then it's on the defense to make sure they're in a good position. Well, you watch a team like Boston, like they're going to have guys prepared for that moment. Okay, they're going to help. Well, right before you get that ball to kick to that open man, a defender is going over to close out on the three-point shooter. I felt like Utah got a lot of clean looks tonight. Too many clean looks for my liking.
They did. What did they end up shooting from three? They shot 16 of 44, whatever.
That's good, 36%.
Yeah. And I know, and I say, I just say, whatever, just altogether, obviously they ended up losing the game. But my whole point to that is you leave that open for a different type of team that I guess can vibe off of all these made threes. You know, when it just starts to become deflating, we've seen that happen before with this Kings defense where threes are made, a good team just makes three after three after three, and it becomes not only a theme, it truly shifts the entire game, not just because of the score, but because of the energy. I didn't feel like that was necessarily happening with Utah. I feel like the Kings were doing a good job when they did get control of this game. Like, they had control even when a few threes were made. But with a different team again in the NBA, with the Houston Rockets, whoever, I just say the Houston Rockets because they're coming up on Saturday, like, it's just not going to fly the same. And so that's just something I wish was adjusted in game, in this game specifically.
That's fair. Kings did a good job shooting threes tonight. 15 of 36, 41%. We mentioned 5 of 10 for Keegan. LaVine was 4 of 8 from downtown. Keon Ellis, 3 of 4 from distance in this one. I loved what Keon brought tonight. He ends up playing 33 minutes. And it was, I felt like Keegan and Keon wore, well, LaVine too had an awesome game, I thought. But those two specifically were awesome. It's interesting seeing that Keon had 11 points, but he was everywhere again defensively. It feels like every time he shoots the ball from three, it's going in. He ends up in this game shooting 3 of 4 from downtown. What stood out to you about Keon in his 33 minutes?
Yeah, I think, again, just coming off the bench and making an instant impact. It was even started in the beginning of the game, it felt like, when everything was sloppy. And that was the other thing. Everything was sloppy, but the pace was also slow, right? And so then when he came in, it was just like a different type of energy. Because obviously Malik Monk brings that energy, but I thought there was like a few of those chaotic moments with him kind of leading the way in that point guard role, where when Keon came in, it was like, okay, let's kind of go back to what we're good at, just like speeding things up, but also trying to make sure that we're getting things done on the defensive end. And just having this different type of energy on the road that they needed to have.
The other guy off the bench, Valanciunas, dude.
Hey, he knocked down a three, too.
He did knock down a three. I've been waiting for that. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 6 of 7 shooting in 14 minutes.
I love when they feed him the basketball, too.
And there's times they don't. It's so irritating.
He makes quick decisions. He doesn't allow a double to even come on him. And even if it does, he fights through. He knows what to do. And I think there's a lot of times where if you feed it to a big in this league, it's like pound, 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 go to work, shimmy, shake, go. And with Jonas, every single time it's like rip through, go, or just like battle through someone, elbow to the face, like throws it down, whatever. I don't know why I did it like that. But my point to it being, he makes quick decisions. The ball doesn't stick when it goes to your big like Jonas. And I love what he's doing there. I love that he's cleaning it up. He finished with 7 rebounds. It was great to see off the bench. The bench, once again.
Yeah. And
go ahead. Where Trey Lyles did not play.
Trey Lyles did not play. He got a DNP CD in this one. He played a little bit last game, hitting a couple of big threes against the Hornets. Of course, the Kings lost Keon in that game. Things got shifted around, but he didn't play in this one. Doug Christie pretty much played 3 guys off the bench. Even Markel only got 4 minutes.
What did you think about that?
About him not playing Trey Lyles?
Trey and just even Markel Fultz seeing only 4 minutes.
I would like to see Markel get more time, just especially defensively. I don't know. It's interesting, like, feeling out a game, too, because you look at the minutes played. I know you pointed that out. I do think a lot of it is, like, they need these starters to get reps together and feel good and build chemistry because it's still not there. I mean, Monk and Sabonis over the last 10 games haven't really played well.
No.
Both those guys.
No.
And so, like, on a night where those two don't play well and you still find a way to win is good. Sabonis over his last 10, 15.9 points, 14.5 rebounds. That's awesome. But 5 assists, 3 turnovers per game, shooting 22% from 3. Monk over 16 points a game, 6 assists, 3.5 turnovers. He is shooting just 40% from the field and 27% from 3.
You know, I asked Keegan after the game, and I feel bad because I don't think I my question was clear. And after a win, I'm asking, I was trying to ask about the turnovers and adversity and how, like, you fight through that. But it kind of came out like, hey, a lot of turnovers the last couple of games. What's up with that? That's, like, kind of how it came out. I'm like, oh, shit. And he was kind of telling me, like, you know, Malik's only been in this role as a point guard for, what, 3 weeks? Like, basically, let there be a grace period. Everyone's still learning each other and everything, and that's kind of what's still happening and going on. I guess I wasn't saying it was just Malik. I think when you see a lot of these guys in some of these moments, they're thinking too much and not simplifying the game, where it's not just about playing with each other. It's more just like, why are you looking at the game like that? And so I guess going to Malik with that, and Sabonis, playing with different guys is whatever. It's going to change some things. But I still think that they're thinking too hard about some of the things that they're doing out there.
I think that's fair. Yeah, Sabonis really struggled in this one. He was 0 for 4 from downtown, 5 of 12. He ends up with 12 points, 9 rebounds.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't get a double-double. 6 assists. Now, I do want to know something on the rebound is because, one, the guy's led the NBA in rebounding this year.
Yeah.
He was boxing his ass out, everyone out tonight.
Yep.
I mean, he was a beast. Menace.
Yep.
And you look at the rebounding from the rest of the guys, that's a number I love. All 5 starters had 6 or more rebounds. DeRozan had 6. Keegan had 6.
Malik.
LaVine had 8. Malik had 9.
Yes.
So it was a team effort rebounding-wise, which I actually like more. Like, yeah, Sabonis, get your rebound. I need you to get rebounds. No shit. But I need other guys to step up on the rebounding, and they did that.
Time. Yeah.
But yeah, it's last couple for Sabonis haven't been good. And, you know, part of it is like, look, it's a long NBA season. Maybe he's in a little bit of a funk now, but you need him to get out of it. I think one of my concerns of this game, and I know he ends up taking 4 threes. It felt like most of those came in the second half, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I felt like he's passing up looks. And
passing up threes?
Yeah, don't pass up open looks. Yeah.
Okay.
And it may go back to your point of him thinking too much. Just go play.
Yeah.
Go finish at the rim. Go dunk on somebody. Get to the free throw line.
Don't think about being a teammate. You know what I mean? Don't think about, like, being passive.
Yeah.
And being a good teammate is getting yours too. And especially someone like that with such a high IQ basketball player out there that usually just goes, makes the play. Like, just because it's not the same flow of DHOs that you were getting with the other roster,
right,
doesn't mean that you still can't accomplish other things at such a high level. I loved seeing him and Malik in that 2-man game and that one pick and roll. I mean, it's like, I'm talking about one time where that used to be able to happen even more. And it should have happened more against this Utah Jazz defense.
Yeah, it probably should have. I mean, I'm just thinking back to some plays. I know there was one, and this has been an example where you talk about the adjustment of playing with different guys. You know, I saw him on a pick and roll situation. I think it was with LaVine, and he's open, and he just didn't get the ball. And I don't think those two have the chemistry yet.
Yeah.
Like, no shit. They're still getting to know each other. I think, this is LaVine's 9th game or something like that, 8th game, whatever it is. So it's going to take some time. And I just, you know, LaVine, I know he had that 10 assist game. I just don't look at him as a guy that's going to be dropping dimes left and right in pick and roll situations. Like, he had that one beautiful pass in the open court to Malik. Mm-hmm. That was a bullet. That was great. And Malik finished at the rim. But I just don't look at him as that guy that's going to be, you know, like Malik in the pick and roll.
And
right?
That's fine.
He's just not that good of a passer to me.
Yeah. And so that's why when you do have someone like Malik out there, utilize that. Now, we've teams, to be fair, teams have been totally taking that away from them. Totally fair. Because it is such a dominant thing to utilize against defenses. But I guess when I just saw tonight's defense, and I was hoping tonight's game would have been more like work on the things that you need to work on. Clean up, ball security, get yourself in that two-man game once again. Go back to like what was working.
Get off to better starts.
Yeah.
They cleaned up the turnovers in the second half.
They did. And that alone is a great thing. But I think again, it was just some of the turnovers were just so like, hey, we're the better team out here, JV versus varsity, whatever. So we're just going to chuck it down here. We're just going to lob it up here. And I'm like, you're not good enough
right
now.
I'm with you on that.
Not good enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just not healthy for anyone.
Malik, we just talked about what he's been doing over the last 10 games. In this game, he had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 turnovers, 5 of 12 shooting, 1 of 5 from downtown for Malik. And I do think there's obviously been an adjustment for him not playing with Fox, too. And I said that when they were moving Fox, you know, it's like Malik is going to have a different level of pressure. He's going to have the ball in his hands more. And this doesn't mean that, like, LaVine can't handle or DeRozan can't, but, you know, Fox had that ability to push and, you know, he would handle and bring the ball up, right?
Yeah.
Malik has the ball in his hands a lot now.
He does.
The defenses know, like, he's a threat. And I think it's been a challenge for him.
And I think he is up for the challenge. I think he can. I think you look at the NBA and how positionless it wants to go. And I think he can be in that role. I think his handles are there. And I think at times there could be a little chaos there. And I hope he keeps making those decisions with just like pounding the ball to the floor and going strong, but he always wants to include everyone. Yep. He wants to make everyone better. And that mentality alone can give you that point guard mentality.
I just think he's seeing different defenses now.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And the coverages are going to be different against him. So it may take him a minute to adjust too, but those two guys aren't playing great right now. And they're going to be needed in a big way down the stretch.
Yeah.
The schedule gets brutal. We know it starts with that game Saturday against Houston. Then you got Dallas. Then you got Denver. And don't even look at that homestand because it's going to make you really cringe and you don't want to see it.
Don't. We're not there yet.
No.
We're not there yet.
What else from this game, Morgan Reagan?
I kind of already mentioned the beginning of the game, just how I didn't love the pace. And obviously the shooting wasn't great and they were turning the ball over, right? So for them to turn things around on the road, even against a shitty team, you love to see it. Like, these are the things that we've seen in the past with other Kings rosters where there isn't as much pride or like there's just everyone's just like frustrated and sulking. And even like someone like Domas was frustrated tonight, complaining about more calls. That kind of takes him out of the game. And other guys didn't just like take on his energy. They were like, hey, we got you. Keegan stepping up, Jonas stepping up off the bench. We already talked about Keon. And then Zach LaVine, that's the guy, an individual that we can go to with just his game shooting again from beyond the arc, 4 of 8, just having back-to-back games where he's shooting well from 3-point land. And again, showing that same type of confidence in his shot and just being quick with it.
This was a great stat from Stat Mamba that was posted about Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, the fastest player in Kings history to record 200 plus points and 25 plus made threes.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
That's fun. Yeah.
He had 22 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 4 of 8 from downtown in that stretch, Morgan. The 3-point shot's so nice. And you knew it was going to start dropping.
It's so nice. And you say
he takes some tough ones.
You say you knew it. I know he does. You knew it was going to start dropping. I'm a little traumatized from this season and how it started and how like the front office got, you know, had a whole bunch of shooters on this team, and we even look at track record and everyone can shoot the shit out of the basketball. And then even there was a moment where like Doug McDermott was getting time and then couldn't shoot the basketball as a sharp shooter. He obviously had that one game where however many threes he hit in like 5 minutes
against Utah. Actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. But my point being, it was just like, whoa, when I thought the shooting was going to get better, it didn't in the beginning of this season. And now obviously you're seeing it get better and better for some individuals. And for Zach LaVine, I was feeling a certain way, like, wait, is he really going to come to Sacramento and it's not going to work? And so it is so nice. His shot is so nice. And I'm sure it feels so good for him too, to just like feel that in a Kings jersey.
Midseason trades are hard, dude.
It's
not all going to be smooth. Like, people want it. Like, hey, you trade for this guy now, instantly produce. It's like, this is not fantasy basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're adding all these guys at once. And like, he got off to a slow start. He wasn't playing like himself. And now last few games, it's like, oh, okay. That's more like Zach.
Dude, even Luka with the Lakers, like against the Mavs even the other night. Like, I know he ended with like 19 points or whatever, but he was even disappointed in his overall shooting performance, his game and everything. And we've seen some other shitty games from him too. It's like the adjustment period, no matter who you are in this league, it can just be up and down a little. So yeah.
It's interesting how the schedule laid out too, because so you lose, you get hammered by the Warriors. Obviously, you don't want that.
So bad.
But then you get the 2 days of practice, a game against Charlotte, off day, game against Utah. And now you get a couple of more days until the Rockets game.
Mm-hmm.
We were complaining at times about, oh man, trade happens. You got to play this tough team, and you got no prize. It's so tough. Well, this laid out kind of nice. Post break, you come off a bad loss, you get those reps at practice, and you take two of the worst teams in the league right now. We're just giving you more opportunity.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to be disrespectful and call it a scrimmage, but like, you needed it to be a scrimmage.
Yes.
You needed to take care of business, win the game. They won both those games, one by 42, by almost 20 tonight.
Yep.
And there are moments where you're like, oh, that looks awful. And there are moments that like, that looks great. Now, you clean this shit up ASAP for what lies ahead coming up on Saturday. And I'm not acting like that's going to be easy at all. And they may get absolutely destroyed by a Rockets team who's lost to the Kings twice this year. But I don't know. I just feel like in some ways they got a little bit of a break with how this schedule has laid out since the break.
We always, not always complain, but we always definitely discuss when the schedule seems to be more difficult or we see a back-to-back you don't like. So no, it's totally fair to point out that exact point. And I think that's why too, in this game tonight, why I wasn't as rah-rah as I was against the Hornets in that win, was just because I was like, ooh, for this scrimmage, I wanted this topic, and this topic to be better. And we didn't address those. Oh, and we didn't truly adjust them in game. But ultimately, when you catch fire and find a way to pull away in the NBA, doesn't matter, even if it's in the fourth quarter when it matters most, and that's you're getting closer and closer to the end of the game, great. That's what you do. That's what this team did. Ultimately, the team's going to be happy. Doug's going to be happy. Someone like Keegan getting his shit together and being able to be confident out there, that looked better. But yeah, I think when you go this Saturday up against a team like the Houston Rockets, you got to play not only up to their level, you have to take, you have to do things on such a different level, like taking care of the basketball, like playing freely, like, I don't know, making sure a hand is in everyone's face when they are shooting the basketball, because that is going to kill us all.
Well, and get ready for the physicality too.
And
it's going to be
that.
Another level. They've won two in a row now. They beat the Bucks last night, and then they beat the Spurs tonight, 118-106. They did beat the Spurs, who were playing without Victor Wembanyama and De'Aaron Fox tonight.
No. Too soon. No, he's doing his thing where he's just being a dick.
I didn't watch the game. I'm sorry. I just assumed he did play. Let me... Guys, I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing. I hate when this stuff happens, and I don't like
You did this with Steph Curry early in the year. You can't. It's too soon for De'Aaron.
So he did set. Is this the first quarter box score?
We can be petty next season.
No, was that the first quarter box score?
That's the final box score.
7 points. Look three at of all 12, their starters. 1 of 5 from three.
All their starters scored under 10 points.
You know what? I think the NBA box score reporting system might have like some sort of glitch. There's no way. Okay. I guess that is accurate.
All their starters scored under 10 points tonight.
Wow. Okay.
That's a shitty game.
28 minutes, 7 points, 3 of 12. One of... Holy shit.
You're being.
It's my bit.
It's too fresh for me. It's
a joke.
Fresh.
I like the guy.
Oh, my heart still
The Rockets
hurts.
Beat him 118-106. You have to understand, I'm Sacramento to my core.
Oh, we know. Same thing happened with Tyrese. Same thing happens with De'Aaron. Even though it's like not their fault.
I love you, man. Love you, man.
But I am now going to get petty. And do what I need to do.
It's a joke.
I know.
It's all a joke.
We know.
Someone's going to clip it, put it on Reddit, and be like, dude, everyone hates Fox. I love De'Aaron. if you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribed as the chase is on for 100,000 subscriptions. We are closing in on it. Insane. Just about 80,000 away. We are closing in.
What did you say about 80,000 away?
Going back, you did bring up Trey Lyles not playing CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can only play so many guys, and Trey has been up and down this year.
But he just came, he's coming off a good game. I don't know.
He came off a good stretch in the late game. I mean, he didn't play in the first half of that one against Charlotte either. So he may be on the outside looking in right now, but like he's a guy that like stay ready because,
and he did.
You may have your name called, and when you do, come in and contribute. 6 points against Charlotte, 2 big threes. I thought tonight he did not play, so the Kings did not play Crowder. I don't think we've seen him since his first game. It's Minnesota,
dude.
So it seems like
forever.
And then the other ones are McDermott and Mason Jones did not play. We saw 4 minutes of Fultz. JV got 14. Laravia, he was a little bit chaotic tonight. 14 minutes for him. He had 4 fouls. He's just a hustle guy.
Yeah.
He's so chaotic.
He really is. He's fun. His energy is fun. I don't know. You know how you said when I mentioned to you all the starters playing like over 35 minutes, whatever. And you're like, yeah, you know, I think they need that time together, blah, blah. Like it's scrimmage, even though no disrespect, even though it sounds disrespectful. The other guys in the depth and staggering rotations and whatever, really utilizing them, like that also is something that needs to happen in games like this, in my opinion. And that's where I felt like it should have gone tonight.
I think big picture, I would love to see more bench. I definitely like to see the bench.
Not even to rest the bodies tonight. It wasn't even for me because they have two days off coming up, but it wasn't even like, oh, to rest their bodies for the next game. It was just more so you're getting that in-game experience with how you want to rotate certain pieces when maybe so-and-so is being sloppy or so-and-so is slowing down the pace. I don't know. That's just, again, these little things.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make the case Markel could have had some more minutes. Keon got the 33. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, played just as many minutes pretty much as DeMar, a little more than Keegan. I mean, he played starter minutes.
And
I like seeing that.
It sounds a little like nitpicky, but at the same time, again, I just didn't leave that game overly excited. But just glad that they got the dub.
We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We should mention that tonight's podcast is always presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery.
Oh, I love Centivo Vineyards and Winery. And obviously they have their new tasting room coming in Fairfield that will be ready in spring 2025. But until then, you can go to centivovineyards.com and get any wine that you want. Why are you going to go there and get your wine? Well, because it's literally some of the best wine I've ever had. So whatever I like, you're probably going to like.
It's great wine. I should be sipping on it right now. What's the deal?
This is tea.
The way you looked down, I was like, do you have wine in a coffee mug?
Would you judge me?
No, it'd just be interesting.
Yeah,
I guess it doesn't matter.
Long stem.
Okay.
Thank y'all.
No stem.
No thick stem, like the long stem.
I actually pour a little in my hand and just sip it out.
You know what? You know what's great about Centivo? How great their people are? They wouldn't even judge you. Thanks. They wouldn't even judge you.
Also presented by our friends here at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. It pays to be a Golden One member. How about getting 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch? And you never know, if you go to a game, wave that Golden One card when they tell you to, you might get a seat upgrade, early entry to a game. If you want to learn more about everything Golden One Credit Union offers, scan that QR code or go to goldenonecreditunion.com. Golden One Credit Union, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings.
We are one.
Also presented tonight by our friends over at Medic Ambulance.
Medic Ambulance! We are thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. From life-saving responses, thank you, to being the team behind the scenes at your favorite events, Medic is there to serve when seconds matter. Trust the professionals setting the standard in patient care. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Appreciate their support of the Do Some Mo podcast. Also presented by our friends over at
Rocket Money. I know we're almost in March, but it's still a new freaking year, and it's never too late to make sure you're budgeting the right way. You can sign up for Rocket Money, and they can help you with all your subscriptions. Rocket Money is a personal subscription.
Oh, okay.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon today.
Morgan Reagan.
Yes.
Who do you think should be tonight's simply the best player?
Keegan Murray.
Of the game.
Keegan Murray.
The poll was put out there with the people. The options, DeMar DeRozan. We didn't talk about him enough tonight. 19 points for him. He also had 8 dimes.
Yeah. Yes. Love.
Move that rock. Find the open man. Let's go. He also had 6 rebounds, 8 of 14 shooting. The other option, Keon Ellis, Zach LaVine, or Keegan Murray with 80% of the vote. The people have demanded. Simply the best player of the game be Keegan Murray. Let's see if that is it. Of course it is.
Oh, that's a good picture.
26 points tonight, season high. 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 dimes for Keegan Murray. He's also the defensive player of the game that was awarded by the Kings coaching staff.
Love it.
Simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out northwestexteriors.com.
Go, Keegan. And good job, everyone, voting for Keegan in the poll, getting defensive player of the game. I mean, he deserved it all.
Let's get some people in the chat. Let's see here. We got Nick. Finally caught my first live with you guys. It's 8:30 a.m. in Prague. Glad to see Zach LaVine getting comfortable with this team. Love the podcast. Shout out, Prague.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Too kind.
Dude, yes.
Thanks for checking us out.
Lav in the chat says it was so good to see Keegan aggressive tonight.
I agree.
Completely agree. Let's see. We got some super chats as well. We should get to Morgan Reagan. Donovan donates saying, why not win? Uh-huh. Nick donates just because. Appreciate the donations.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Deuce, can I give a little shout out?
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Deuce Mason. I know. Is she drunk? Is there wine in here? Deuce, we usually call Stockton Kings games NBA G League games together. And the Stockton Kings had a matinee, 11 a.m. game. Deuce did all of his duties, studied up for the game, prepped everything, and then called the game at 11, raced back, did everything else you need to do to the game, and then got ready for the podcast. Long day for you, but also, like, so badass that you're able to do all those different things. And I listened to, obviously, most of the game. You crushed it. You crushed it. And it's weird that you did it alone and you still crushed it.
Okay.
What?
Just have so many things to break down from that compliment. I get the sense you're saying this because you're suggesting that maybe I'm coming off tired tonight. And maybe because I had an early day, so this is your way of like, hey, let's boost them up a little bit here.
It's a fucking compliment. I just didn't know. Take it.
Thanks.
What? What?
It's just me doing bits, man. Just it's good for the show. Relax, huh?
It's good for the. Just say thanks.
Hey, thanks, man.
Genuinely.
Called a game before by myself. Thanks.
It's so long. It's like you're on the grind. Oh my god.
Lewis in the chat says, "Damn, Mo is being such a hater." Yeah. Someone else saying she was being genuine. Dennis, stop yawning. Oh, what? It's just having fun with you, man. Relax. Only Smile in the Sun says Prague. He ain't alone. I'm watching from the high mountains of Japan. Let's go.
Give me a hell yeah.
Someone's saying, this is why people don't say anything nice anymore.
So funny.
I kind of read that right.
But before your nice compliment.
What?
Oh, you just now that you brought up Stockton, a couple of things. Devin Carter played today.
Well,
he had 34 points.
That's what I was looking at when some of the DMPs, and I was like looking who wasn't on the roster. But
yeah, Isaac Jones Isaac Jones played really well in this game. He had a nice turnaround fadeaway 1 foot jumper. I'm like, okay. I thought Isaiah Crawford had some really good moments in this one too.
Hell yeah.
Devin 34. Some of it was at the free throw line. The G League free throw rules are bizarre. He got fouled twice on 3-point makes, but I was just glad to see him shoot it with confidence and be aggressive. So something to watch. And I think it's going to be good for him just to get these G League reps. I was just thinking more about it too, watching him. I'm like, this guy had surgery in July.
Yeah.
Right. So he didn't play in summer league, did not play in training camp, came back in January. Definitely clunky, not comfortable out there. And then he's not playing in Sacramento. Like, he needs reps. Like, if he's going to be a player in this, he needs to play and get comfortable after this surgery. And so I like the fact that they're utilizing Stockton for it.
Well, and you think about that timeline that you just mentioned. He crushed it in the G when they were trying to get him back in basketball conditioning. And then when he kind of made his NBA debut, he had moments. And then after his first game of a few moments, it's like, it's been that clunky, like can't find your flow, whatever. I mean, this is also a rookie that has now already had two different NBA head coaches.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
I mean, you're at practice. Like,
sure. I mean, I guess. He never got coached by
that's
Mike
Brown fine, but
game.
The team was run by someone else.
Sure. There's been a lot that happened as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think for him, it's just get the reps. That's what you need. And so I'm glad they're utilizing it in that way. And for him, it's just like, get comfortable handling the ball, get comfortable dealing with ball pressure. I remember Keon Ellis's rookie year in Stockton. We caught a lot of his games. One thing that I think it was Bobby Jackson coaching him at the time did, and I'm sure the organization wanted him to do that, was let Keon run the point a little bit, you know, let him get more comfortable with the ball in his hands. And Keon's not a point guard,
no,
but he needs to be comfortable doing those things. He's gotten more comfortable throughout his NBA career, and I think for Devin it is like, hey, can you run a team a little bit? Can you get people organized? You know, I don't even look at him as like a pure point guard or anything. I think he's more of, he's an off guard.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
But and just like getting his 3-point shot off without problem, attacking the basket, playing physical. It's so hard. You don't want to get caught up. I guess my point is, with any G League player, you don't want to get caught up in the numbers all the time. The matchups are weird.
It's all weird. It's all weird.
Different levels of play.
In the amount that you're practicing and playing with that actual team, the amount of turnover with these players and individuals, because sometimes it's just players obviously trying to gain their confidence or conditioning, or they're signed, you know, for all these different reasons. And so it's hard to play within that system and be a part of that team while also trying to showcase what you can do. Yeah. So there's a lot of layers to it. Yes.
Chris in the chat has a question. Morgan Reagan, should we be worried about Domas? A couple of tough games for him.
No. And I say that so easily because I was even thinking about that after tonight. I'm like, oh my God, we're just so not used to this guy having multiple games.
Looking where, flustered, not playing well.
Yeah. But it's like, no, he's human. He's so reliable for so many stretches that I'm not concerned at all. I mean, ask me in 2 weeks and we're still talking like this, then I'd really be something else. But no, right now, absolutely not.
I need to look at his game log because I went over his last 10 games.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like 15 and 14 and a half. But I just want to just see what this looks like here. Okay, so the Golden State game, 14 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists in 31 minutes. The game before that, he had 22 and 28. My God. 22 and 28 in the loss to the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
God, that game pissed me off so bad.
And he was playing well.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in that game. Before that, he had 16, 15 on 8 of 13. Before that, 16, 15, and 8 on 7 of 10. 27 and 16 on 10 of 18 against the Pelicans. The loss to Portland, oh my goodness, that pissed me off too. He had 10 points in that game, 10 points, 14 rebounds. Orlando 21 and 13. Yeah, so since the trade, he's definitely been up and down, especially with like the shot attempts.
But that's you're figuring out with other people that should also be shooting the basketball. But when I say that, sure, you want to make sure you're meshing it all together with everyone. But at the same time, while still playing your dominant game, making sure that when you're getting the ball, that you're not being passive and that you're getting fed where you want it as well. And I think at times when we've seen Zach LaVine try and get it into Domas, it wasn't pretty at first, right? Like the timing, the chemistry, clean. Like it's clunky. But it's like you got to keep working on it. You got to keep feeding him the basketball, whether it's him initiating the offense at the top or at the high post, whatever. It's like, he's got to be a big part of it.
And I think he has a tendency, especially with new guys, is like, he wants to get them feeling good and wants to help get them involved. He's got to continue to look for his. He's also like a couple times tonight. First of all, Walker Kessler did a great job. Let's also say that Walker Kessler, played really well.
Tough.
And he's been a problem for Sabonis in the past. We even mentioned Walker Kessler. He had 25 points, 14 rebounds in this game. 10 of 10. He was 10 of 10.
Wow.
5 of 7 at the free throw line for Walker Kessler. But, you know, these teams, when Sabonis is underneath the basket, man, they are just physical as shit. They've got multiple guys swiping at him, trying to make life challenging.
Yeah. They've done a really good job of, I guess, making that a point of emphasis, focusing on that, making his life more difficult. And that's just when other guys have to be dominant with it, if that's going to be happening. But at the same time, yeah, like I think for Domas, it's also still figuring out what he should be doing with this new roster.
Yeah. Not concerned.
Mm-mm.
Kings and Rockets coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
This test coming up here for the Kings is going to be... We're going to learn a lot about it. I mean, this is it. This is the season. This next month is the season. Does that make you nervous? You just sound nervous just now.
No, I think what's crazy is that you look at this Western Conference and you think about the teams that you have to play. And it's like, oh, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be this, whatever. That's what it's. You have to control everything in your power because you're seeing teams screw up left and right. Then you're seeing a team like the Warriors creep, creep, creep all the way up, probably getting to that sixth spot, right? I think it's so easy to say, like, control you can control. But truly, if you can just keep continuing in that direction as other teams around you are seeing chaos, are... not playing as good of basketball or whatever it is, and just let them fall apart while you keep capitalizing on your opportunities of what you do have on your roster. I don't know. I feel like it's so doable, but like when I see games like this in the game against the Pelicans before the All-Star break, I just get very concerned.
I hear you. And I'm like, I'm playing the schedule game as you're talking, looking at some of these matchups. It's about taking care of business against teams below you, minimum. You cannot have a game where it's like, oh man, lost that game to Charlotte. Like,
right.
That, like,
no.
None of those games. No, like, no, you've no. lost that. You cannot do that. And you look at the schedule, it's about taking care of teams that are below you, right? When the Spurs come to town next week,
mm-hmm.
whether De'Aaron's playing, whether he's not, who knows what that situation's going to look like next week, you have to win that game.
Yeah.
Okay. There's one. You have to beat Chicago. Two. You have to beat Portland at home. Three. On the road, you have to beat Washington. Four. You have to beat Charlotte. Five. Okay. There's five there of like shoulds.
Okay.
Like you got to win those uh-huh. games.
I am.
All right. So that gets you to 35 wins. Can you find to be a play in six more in there? I mean, you can, you know what I mean?
But so, it's just like, let's yeah, effing I mean, go.
And the first thing is this road trip is like Dallas right now when you've got, okay, you got Houston, Dallas, Denver left on this road trip. It's spaced out nicely. You play Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. There's no back-to-backs. You end in Denver. Yeah, but it's on a back-to-back. Dallas is a game you got to win. Like that's why I'm not going to put it in that category of the other ones, but
Dallas is Monday, right?
Dallas is Monday.
So like, it's still going to be a beaten up team.
Yeah. They're banged up, dude.
I mean, they still give you a run for your money.
I get it, Morgan. Every team in the league is at this point, yeah, right? No. That's how I look at it. This is a league, but I'm just saying we're talking about, okay, positioning here. And if you take a deeper dive into the NBA standings, the Kings are still like in the race for six in a weird way.
I know.
I wouldn't predict it based on the schedule, but tonight they're two games out of the sixth spot. Now they also have Dallas, Golden State, Minnesota, and the Clippers in front of them right now. But I mean, there's still a chance to make a push here, but it's at bare minimum. You got to handle your business against the teams you're supposed to beat. And then you hope that this road trip, if you could steal two more on this road trip, you're going 3-1 road trip. Holy Hand shit. Let's go. And then, yeah, it gets really daunting as the schedule goes on. But I don't know, man.
You are where you're at.
You are
where you're at.
A couple of things around the NBA I wanted to get to real fast.
Okay.
Because I think we've hit this game enough, right?
Yeah.
Relax. You're giving me the look.
I'm not giving you any look.
What is the look? Is it not a look?
What's the look?
I don't know. It's a yawn into like, what are you doing here?
You don't know me. Just shut up and
I
go.
I don't know you. The Athletic did a piece on Luka today. Uh-huh. Our buddy Sam Amick.
Sam.
All right. Free advice for the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh.
Stop trying to bury Luka Doncic. Like, you made the trade. you don't need to keep talking about him and how much he likes smoking hookah, how much he enjoys drinking beer, trying to pile on about his commitment to the game.
Yeah.
The guy did all that and got to the NBA Finals last year, okay? You made a decision. It's fine that you got off of him and you want to move on.
Yeah.
You got to live with that. But Dallas, stop leaking stuff to the media. Start talking to the media and piling on this guy. It makes you look bad. It's not going to make anybody in your market feel better about the trade. No one's going to read that today and go, you know what? I was on the fence about the trade. But yeah, I can't get down with a player who's in the hookah. Like, what are we saying?
Right. That's it.
What is the gain here?
It's like the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni trying to get that public perception to sway people into like, they're bad. No, they're bad. And it's one of those things, if you just stay quiet, it goes away.
It's so, but this may not go away for a long time.
Well, yeah, now, I mean.
But I think the other problem with this is whether this guy was problematic at times behind the scenes or not, mm-hmm. okay? He is adored by the fan base.
Yep.
And you won with him. You made it to the finals. One of the best players, an all NBA guy in the MVP conversation, right? Why are you piling on? Like, if you are piling on this guy, how is any player going to trust your organization if you're going to badmouth a player like this?
Well,
I mean, it's so disappointing to see an organization handle something like that, because it's like, this guy's he may have his flaws, but take the high road. You made the trade. You move on. Stop talking to the media about it.
I'm completely with you. I think people need PR teams. But like, when I say PR teams, I'm talking individuals need PR teams. Like, a GM needs one specific PR person, PR team, like whatever it is that understands their in and outs, like they're a celebrity. Because how some of these people have gone about certain things, I'm just like, you needed extra help. You know what I mean? You needed someone like holding your hand through every, like, that's what I'm saying. That not just like, oh, team PR. No. You need like whoever is represented. Yeah, like Brad Pitt.
Crisis management. We need to figure this out. And burying the guy that was the face of your franchise is not the play.
You're all rich.
It's just not the play at all.
Yeah.
Side note, watching that Lakers-Mavs game last night, and the Mavs competed, and I give them a lot of credit, because you know, you have to try to separate the front office decision with the players on the floor. Dallas extremely banged up right now without AD, Gafford, and Lively, and even Martin, who they traded for at the deadline. If these guys can get healthy, which who knows, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a really, really good team. It's just, can they get healthy in time to make some noise in the playoffs? Can Anthony Davis end up playing again this year? That's going to be the question. But God, I know I said this last podcast, Morgan, but it's happening so much, man. The slobbering of the Warriors and Lakers right now is at a level that is just absurd. It's just absurd. The Lakers beat up a banged up Dallas Mavericks team. Uh-huh. They beat them up. They beat them. And the way people are talking about the Lakers, as if they are championship contenders now. What are we doing? They are not a championship contending team yet. We cannot make that statement. But because it's the Lakers, a two-game win streak, Luka being there, it's the equivalent of a 15-game winning streak for anybody else. It's insane to me.
Well, remember the beginning of the season when the Cavs went, 15-0 or whatever.
The Cavs, unbelievable start to the season. Yeah. Nobody was talking about them.
Yeah. And everyone was just talking about the Lakers and what.
It's the same thing now. No, people are talking about the Cavs.
And that's my point is now, like, at first it started fading away just a little bit, but then it was like, wait, can we do a little bit more on JJ Redick? Like, isn't there one more fun story that we can do on him? Can we figure it out? It's what they're obsessed with.
Yeah.
And I think it's a disservice to the rest of the league and to some of these really good teams. But at the same time, like, it's not going to change. And now it's really not going to change, because I thought for the Lakers it would change when LeBron era was over, maybe just a little bit. But, oh, they got Luka.
And by the way, I don't mind justified hype. Like, I'm all about, like,
be a good team.
Yeah, I just think personally, the Lakers need to show me a little more before I go. You know, they can't go from, like, irrelevant, like, play-in at one point, or, you know, fringe playoff team to championship contender. I just don't see it. They played some good defense, though. I think that's been a bit of a surprise. And, you know, you have two high-profile games that you win. It's going to get attention, the games against Denver and Dallas. I get that. But I think we're going over the top a little bit right now with the Lakers coverage.
Yeah.
What
happens.
Let's give some love to the Pistons for a second consecutive podcast.
What'd they do?
They beat the Celtics tonight.
Whoa.
The Detroit Pistons have won 8 in a row for the first time since 2008. First time since 2008. They beat Boston tonight, who was without Jaylen Brown. 117-97. Malik Beasley with 26 off the bench. Cade Cunningham with 21 and 11 in 34 minutes.
Mm.
What a story.
Even that story could be talked about a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, the team that lost 28 games in a row last year.
It's a cool story.
Won 14 games last year, 32 wins.
It's also a cool story because you think about, that's someone who I feel like they always wanted to shine a light on, was like Cade Cunningham, and yeah, he's been playing some really good basketball.
Awesome.
And he's been a huge reason. And you think about Jaden Ivey going down, and what in the adversity this team has faced and still been able to find a way to play some good basketball, be in that sixth spot in the Eastern Conference. It's impressive.
They're now 33-26. And yeah, I mean, they're one game out of the fourth seed.
Mm.
Playing some awesome basketball right now. It's an insane story.
Right behind the Bucks. They're right behind the Bucks.
Dude, it's an amazing story. And I love it. I love that turnaround, because that fan base has seen a lot of bad. I mean, think about, could you imagine doing night chats after, hey, all right, the Kings lost their 27th consecutive game. Like, what would you even talk about?
We would have games.
We would do our own games. Yes. Yes.
No, like, we would, like, play games on our podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We would, like, because you wouldn't be able to talk about a loss, like, that many times.
Not only did they lose 28 games in a row last year, they couldn't even get the number one pick out of it.
Yeah,
even the year before when they were awful, they couldn't get the number one pick. They missed out on Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's cool. And what does it mean long term? I mean, who knows? But the reality is, Cade Cunningham's healthy. They've got some intriguing young talent, and they're doing some legit things in the East.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great for the league, too, to see a team like that. That's an awesome story. Also, I don't know if you heard about this. Morgan, Paul George announced that he is no longer doing his podcast, at least for now, taking a break. He responded with a big game, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, but the Sixers lost to the Knicks 110-105.
Still good that he responded after having to make that public announcement.
It's what? So weird. I mean, did the podcast take up that much time?
Well, that's what I was... Well, I mean, for us, yes, but his, like, I think about for us, I'm like, yeah, it takes up a lot of time, but his is what, weekly?
Yeah,
or is it bi-weekly?
If I was a player, I would probably do an off-season one.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And bank a whole bunch of shit.
Dude.
And then drop it throughout the year.
If you are Paul George and you have a great podcast and you can make that money, do once a month.
Yeah.
Once a month. Like, that is something that can be therapeutic at times. Like, especially in the conversations that he has with other hoopers. Like, it's a good podcast. And I think if it was something just along those lines and then picked and then ramped it up in the off season or whatever, it's like, it's a different story. I appreciate him, I guess, feeling that way and wanting to focus on the number one job. But at the same time, I'm still like, was that taken away? I don't know. In some ways, I almost wouldn't even have said anything.
Draymond still does his. He had Kevin Durant on.
Did he really?
Yeah, and KD was just talking about how he didn't want to get traded. He was just like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, he goes, if you're trading for me, like, you're changing, like, your franchise. I make a lot of money, and it's just, in the middle of the season, it's just a hard thing to do. I was like, I appreciate the honesty.
So, him and Draymond are fine?
I think they're fine. I mean, I think they're fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, they could be fine without being like, I don't want to work with him, but I don't, I don't hate him, but I don't want
to
work with
him.
Who
knows what to believe there?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Kevin Durant in Sacramento would be okay.
I would love that. Sure. I would take that.
We did also lose NBA Centel today. You know, NBA Central, and then there's NBA Centel that always tricks people with
stories.
Yeah,
why did we lose it?
It's unclear, but the account is no longer on Twitter.
No way.
And so I don't know if it's a temporary ban. I thought I saw something about it maybe being temporary. I've been mixed about Centel because sometimes it's funny.
And then sometimes it feels messed up.
Yeah. I like the funny stories. I don't like the hateful ones.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No.
But if, by the way, how does Centel get banned? Think about the shit you read on Twitter that stays up there. Bro, you could report the worst of the worst. Like, actually, this is a completely fine.
Yeah. No, there's been some bad, and then I'll report it, and they're like, oh, this doesn't violate anything. Are you sure?
Centel took a shot at Nico Harris. Violates the terms of agreement. Banned.
Well, just depends on who's in charge.
Oh, man. Morgan, let's get to some final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Love a dub. Love a dub. No matter how you have to get it, love a dub. I am excited that it feels like there's more space in between some of these games, too. Just so, like, it was so fun watching so much NBA last night, you know? There was a while there, it just felt like there was...
Yeah.
Game after game after game. So yeah, it's just been nice, and I'm sure it's going to be nice for the players as well.
Joe, who's in our Discord and also is always in our YouTube chat, he's celebrating a birthday today, and I think he was wondering if you could give him a little happy birthday song.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Joe, the one that sings?
Yes.
Just like sing happy birthday.
I almost like an original happy birthday song. Like if you had to come up with like a version for him. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Joseph. It's your day today. Gave you the gift of another year, and I think you're gonna say, hey, happy birthday, Joseph. Joseph, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Joseph. Joseph, it's your birthday.
That's a spinoff of The Simpsons?
Yeah, damn it. I was hoping you wouldn't know it, and I was gonna see who else was gonna get it. Dude. How'd you know it?
I watched The Simpsons. It's
happy birthday, Lisa.
Was that with the fake Michael Jackson? Uh-huh.
Lisa, it's your birthday.
Pretty good, though.
Thanks.
He didn't even ask you to do that. I just made it up.
What a dick. Why would you do that? I couldn't even make an original. Ay, ay, ay.
My final thought?
Yeah.
Just looking forward to what's next.
I don't know what that means.
The game Saturday.
Oh!
I'm just looking forward to what we're going to see. These last couple of games have had moments of exhilarating basketball, moments of frustration, but ultimately ending up in a win. I think they're in a good position from a standings perspective that they could be a play-in team.
Yeah.
Even if Phoenix is looming still, but Phoenix is struggling. Don't they get Phoenix twice, by the way? I know these are final thoughts. Now it's another segment. Yep. You get Phoenix twice. Yep. You get them once March 14th in the final game of the season. Final game of the season. For the 10th seed, Durant against his future team. Anyway, final thoughts. Yeah, I mean, It's weird not having a, you know, when you watch a team all year long or they've been together for a couple of years, you can at least feel comfortable making a prediction like, you know what? I feel really good about this matchup against Houston. I don't know. I just don't know anything because this team is still so new together. Mm-hmm. The pieces don't always fit.
Great. It's like they can, but then when they don't, you oh, okay. Then I don't know what to expect. I getcha.
I'm with you. I want the seventh seed in the chat, but you know, we'll see. The reality is I'm just going to enjoy the ride and we're going to be here together. Enjoy the journey together. The highs and the lows. It's basketball, baby. It's a beautiful game.
It is.
We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You're all badass for being here. We'll see you later. See ya!
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.